blessing sacred space for tuning in to our happy new year episode of the Sacred Space Community. You guys, we are so excited to start 2020 with a clear vision. We are connected to sisters that are so deeply rooted in their message, in their purpose. This has just been an amazing year already because we are able to start the year off with a conversation that is a heavy hitter. We got a sister on the line that's a heavy hitter in the Sacred Space Community this evening. I'm excited to have her. We have a lengthy virtual networking friendship sisterhood history that turned into us meeting each other in person. And it's like, it just hasn't, you know, stopped growing and evolving. And even when there's time in between us, if we see that each other has a need, we show up, we do what we can. Even if we see each other advocating for another sister, we show up, we do what we can. I can say, the true testament of what it means to have sisterhood between two people who are doing very similar tasks, but never in the spirit of competition. Myesha Collins, the owner and founder of Blue Girls Turn Go. God damn it, it's been a year. Why am I just not getting you on my show? What's going on, lady?
What is going on? Oh, man. Everything is going on. Everything. Just thank you for having me. Like, you know, your introduction, I'm just visualizing, and even before, you know, getting on, I'm just like, damn, like, we have been through so many transitions and transformations, all from just me having initial inspiration from seeing what you were doing and me saying, man, I'm creating a circle and I want to have people that are genuine, transparent, and, you know, living, and, you know, as they're living, going through their experiences. And I clearly saw that in you. So me taking that trip to come see you, and now seeing, like you said, all the things that, you know, just the visions just keep getting bigger and bigger. And then we understand it's a sisterhood and we're all connected. And it's just like you said, doing it genuinely and, you know, with real self-love and value, and not being like clicked up. That's kind of what vibe I get, you know?
Right. You know, having some integrity, some depth and some weight, and understanding that this thing is always bigger than the individual. It's even bigger than your movement versus my movement. Like, it's so beyond that. Although I know that we respect each other's movements, we respect each other as individuals, and we respect sisterhood, but this thing is like, I mean, when we go and we think about our community as African-American people, we know that a nation can only rise as high as its woman. And so every time you are in the presence of another sister, whatever it is that you can do to elevate that sister, even when it's just mere conversation, hey, sis, are you sure you good?
Yep.
You know, those are the type of things that I have learned from you, even in the midst of your own pain. And we kind of, you know, connecting in the spaces and where we have had similar pain, you have never wavered in your love and support and just showing up the best way you could with boundary. Right. Don't get me wrong, because we must have boundary, but you have always showed up. I've always just watched you like, I know she got shit going on. I know she do. You know what I mean? But you don't check out of sisterhood is what I'm saying. And not in a manner in which you're not taking care of yourself, but you never lose sight of the purpose. You never lose sight of the mission. You never lose sight of what God has ordained you to do. I am in awe of that, because sometimes I want to go hide, sis.
Hey, say a word. Hey, I got my hiding days, and my people know, they already know. It's just interesting. Like you said, it's like you never lose sight. Like, even before we got to where we are now, we didn't have, you know, the same visions at all, of course, because we didn't have the self-love in place. And I think, right, you know, that connecting factor and, you know, healing through that, actually, when I look back now, is just like everything I went through, even in the moments when I'm sitting there evicted, I'm like, but I know it's something else. So I couldn't just be like, oh, I'm just going to go do this, or I'm going to go do this, and I'm just going to be quiet because stuff is not changing as fast as excuse me, I would want it to change, because in my head, I didn't did the work of 300 million people, and I'm just
listen,
like, man,
I need to be hello somebody.
I'm just saying, I'm like, man, I just need to get the word out. And it's interesting, because even with my own struggles with, you know, anxiety, and it's like, to be able to make the impact that I do, knowing what I deal with, it's crazy to watch. I have people that be like, I be wanting to check on you, but it's like, you just be so strong. And I'm like, some days I ain't strong, but at the end of the day, I know in 3 days I'm gonna be good. Like, you know, it's like, right. I just gotta get through this process, whatever the trigger is, wherever I feel like I'm being held up at. And you know, I basically just created when I was in those spaces, because I started to realize, it's only when you're not moving that you're not moving towards something. So as long as you're moving, and I don't care if you sit there and write down ideas for a book, or, you know, anything, whatever it is.
You're moving that stagnant energy is what I hear you saying. And
yes,
I'm going to redirect our conversation, because I want to make sure that our listeners, because see, we friends, y'all. So that being said, we'll start talking and we'll forget we're doing a podcast interview. So I'm gonna bring us back for a moment. But what I heard you saying, and for those of you who are listening, because sometimes we can get it misconstrued when Sus says you know you have to move, we're not saying don't rest. Don't get what it is you need on your self-care days, if it means you need to sleep all day or meditate or yoga or whatever. But when that energy starts to become stagnant, and you can't see where, you know, there's an end to what's going on in your life, movement is actually very important, whether that's yoga, that's dancing, that's writing, that's reading. Like, you gotta move, you gotta shake that energy up. You can't just leave it lying there dormant. I think that's what I'm hearing you say. Am I correct in that?
Yep, you're absolutely correct. Because, you know, when you're self-healing and, you know, you're a product of your environment, you know, sometimes we always, you know, think we got to go physically, but we really don't. And then, you know, sometimes we feel stagnant just because we're not moving, but we're really not moving. It's just more, let's redirect that energy. And like you said, that doesn't mean don't sleep. That doesn't mean don't cry. I'm a Cancer. I'm a cry. I cry for no reason.
Oh, God, they do, y'all. They do.
I cry for everybody else. I'm like, don't even worry about it. I got you. I'll guarantee you. I got you.
I'm guaranteed to shed a tear. So, again, let's redirect. Tell our viewers, because I know who you are, and I know what it is that you do in this world and how amazing your mission is. Tell us about Myesha Collins and Blue Girls Turn Gold.
Okay, so Blue Girls Turn Gold came to me. I recently... let's go back maybe 2015. I was at a point where I was trying to figure out what was my ultimate purpose in this life, because I had gotten to the point where I didn't feel, I was the one that was moving fast, and no matter what I did, I would hit a brick wall. No matter what I did, everybody else's limitations was on me. That was my belief system. So in 2015, I got offered an opportunity to move to Virginia. It was a 7-year contract employment position. Long story short, while at this location, I endured harassment, toxic work behaviors, unethical practices, things like that, to the point where I was forced to resign. And if anybody knows anything about constructive discharge, it's basically being in an environment where, I want to make sure I say this correctly. It's being in an environment where, let's say we have 10 rules of ethics and policies on the wall that we all abide by, but the people at the top are not abiding by them. And therefore there's toxic behavior that is accepted among the organization, which will cause one person, two people, or whoever these people that are ostracized to be so uncomfortable to where you'll get, you know, with me, my blood pressure was uncontrolled. I couldn't sleep at night. You'll start having things like that happen. And basically what happened was I had to resign, but then they came back and terminated me. And all I was trying to do was stand up for myself and make sense of it. But that pushed me into Blue Girls Turn Gold, which is Blue is, I always describe it as like unknowing your greatness, because even at that last position, it took me a while to even say anything for myself, even though I knew what was going on was toxic. But I was a part of the executive team. So it's like, I'm a part of the problem, but I'm trying to solve the problem within the confines of what I can do. But there's nothing you can do in a system that's not governed by you, if you could break it down that way.
Yes, sir. Say that. That was heavy. And you can take that comment, ladies, not just in the work environment. Said, right. There's nothing you can do in a system that's not governed by you in your personal and your professional life. If you are not governing yourself accordingly, other people are in control of your mind, your body, your spirit, your finances, your spirituality, your energetic makeup. Other people have the power to push you in any direction they so see fit. You just spoke a word to me. Hello.
Man, I'm getting chills all down my arms.
Yes, ma'am.
Because this is, when you said women in any aspect of your life, that's literal. Because we have to start looking at ourselves as our own goddesses, our own governing. Mm-hmm. You have final and last say, but because a lot of us have come from traumatic, or, you know, whether it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental, emotional, when you come from things like that and you go into work environments or relationships like that, it's uncomfortable, but it can be comfortable to you to where you just adapt, and therefore you're still going to be governed by that, and therefore I can't quit this job because this is my livelihood type attitude.
Right. Or even in relationship.
Yep.
This person is so supposed to be providing and protecting me, but they're using it as a power, no different than in the job. They're using it as a power.
Yep.
And I don't know if you seen the detailed introduction I gave the other day. We're talking, ladies that are listening in, we're talking about reclaiming your voice after experiencing the shame of being violated. And sometimes when we hear the word violated, we ultimately think rape. But we as women are consistently violated in so many different ways that we've normalized the violation. Mm-hmm. Let's dig a little deeper into how you're in the workforce and you're being violated to a point where now your voice is being taken.
Like you said, look, like you were saying, when I was going through all that, oh gosh, it was surreal because I'm the person with the voice.
Right. How do I lose it? Oh, girl.
I'm staying.
There are a lot of us online, offline, who in some arenas in our life, we are the voice.
Mm-hmm.
We are the power, the chess piece. You know, we are that, you know, that person. But then we get into these other arenas, which trigger something.
Yep.
Something is triggered in which you lose your voice. Let's talk about it. What does that look like, sis?
So what that looks like is, let's say, since you were a child, your parents basically mold you to be what they need you to be in a situation. You know, whether you do good or bad, you know, they treat you accordingly. You grow into the belief system of whatever you were raised to do. So, you know, if you go into a work environment where a predator may, or in a relationship, there's somebody that looks like they're going to give you all the things you need, but that's because you're not really governing yourself, as far as you don't even know what you need.
Right.
You walking out here blind because your parents taught you, you needed what they needed. So you're already going through a different belief system than probably who you really are. So that's one of the comments that I had. And then you're thinking, oh, well, if I do this, this, and this, or if I don't do this, then these things won't ever occur to me. And then you realize those things happen in spite of anything, because everybody has free will, and, you know, everybody's not governing themselves to the expectations that they have of you. And that starts with our childhood. Even when we're going through things as a child, it's kind of like, sometimes, especially with young women, we're put more in a mature position. You know, we're walking around playing house, taking care of the family. We're programmed from very young to be a pleaser and, you know, take care of everybody else. And you don't even know what it is to take care of yourself. And that just transpires into your adulthood, relationships. And then it's a cycle if you start looking deeper into it that
absolutely
most people in your family actually have gone through, but they're not exposing it the same way.
Right, right. Or having healthy dialogue as we're having right now, having these discussions. I was just talking to my, and everybody knows this, I was just talking to my cousin. I always say this. But we were just talking about it the other day and really reflecting back on, do we really have heavy hitting, you know, divine feminine women who are governing themselves in our family, mm-hmm. right? So we're talking about where am I to learn these lessons? Where was I supposed to learn them? And then when I get honest with myself, I don't know about you, but I'm looking and I'm thinking, nah, all the women in my family, absolutely not, are not exhibiting a behavior that says I choose to love and take care of me first. And what overflows is what you
right.
do. That love that overflows. See what I'm saying? So I'm looking at the women in my family and I'm going, wait a minute. I'm here beating myself up for not knowing how to do something that I don't have any reference point. So when you don't have a reference point of claiming that voice, of snatching your power back in uncomfortable situations, right. in male-dominated situations, how do you find that voice? Because you can be me and you talking, and I could tell you everything I need to tell you as plain as day. But certain environments, yes. my throat chakra is
yes. And of course, if you're in a love relationship, you know, that throat chakra is going to be blocked because you don't feel like you have a voice and you don't want to lose whatever it is you think you're going to lose in this situation by communicating what you need to communicate. Like in the situation that I was in, I felt like I was being clear by saying no, not interested type thing. But it wasn't until I actually had to put it in writing. And I know I didn't do that because I knew what it was going to be. I know when people have power and they can't get what they want, that this is going to be a whole nother subject, because now it's not even, it never really was about me doing the job. It was about a power and control thing that I'm just more a piece in the puzzle type thing. So then if I feel like that, and I feel, if I feel right. like that, and then everybody around me is, I don't want to say not re-encouraging, but if they're looking around like, well, that's just kind of how it goes type thing, you lose your voice because you're kind of like, this don't make sense, but everybody's clapping still. Everybody knows that these things happen because what right. happened to me was right. happening to other people. And it's like, but.
Right. Well, it becomes the right. cultural
and
norm.
It's like, why you got to say something? Like, what is it? Is it bothering you that much? But because they didn't understand, it's like, you can't be in a work environment where you're trying to provide for your family and your job doesn't matter. All that matters is you feeding someone's ego. I don't operate that way. You know, but some people
right.
are trained to operate that way. I'm going to feed your ego, but then I'm also going to break you down. So I would see things like this. Okay. Somebody could come and they'll be the best thing since sliced bread. They're smart. They're this, they're that. As soon as you don't go falling in according to plan, whatever it is that you got, whether you would talk to inappropriately, whatever it is, we know there's certain conversations that we know shouldn't be had in the workplace. So when those things happen, you're kind of, you don't right. necessarily say, hey, could you please stop talking to me like that? Because like you said, certain situations, you in your head, you might want to say that, but this is real life. That doesn't happen. Because what you know ain't going to be, you're going to be ostracized. Mm-hmm. That's just
because
human
of
nature.
The benefit, though. Right. Well, when you're having to decide between paying my rent, paying my utilities, feeding my children, again, women being in environments in which they have to choose, you know, the benefit of being here and what that benefit is providing for my family. I think the statistic, sis, is 80% of women who stay in domestic violence situations are there because of the financial you know, a gain, benefit, perk. He's paying the bills. It's no different than when you go to a 9-to-5 every day and you're being treated improperly,
Correct.
Whether that's a sexual harassment, violation, you know,
it's,
whatever sort of
yep.
demoralization, you're having to choose between rent and, you know, taking care of your children and this job. And unfortunately, again, that throat chakra is completely blocked because we're afraid to say, you know what? I'm going to have to figure this thing out, but today is my last day.
Right. Like, who's going to say that when you, you know, and especially
most people,
I'm like, and when I came here, it's like, I moved to a whole nother state. I uprooted everything for a right. contracted position that now is not contracted because you want to do what you want to do. And all I did was speak up. I never had nothing. Oh, you didn't do your job. Right. You did none of that. It was, I wasn't going with the system. And so I'm penalized for that, but I can't exist in an environment like that. So most, like I said, from what I know, I'm the first person that has made it verbal to go, you know, as far as the EEOC and that. And that is because this person also holds, I guess what you want to say, perceived political powers and things like that. So that's a whole nother thing. That, like I said, we just have to deal with this stuff on layers, but it's ultimately stuff being reinforced that shows us that we're not worthy and we don't have value. And if we feel that we have value, it's only going to be based off what other people think.
Right. So going back to what you said earlier, this stems from the lack in my foundation, because had I been taught that no matter who, what, where, or when, I am the most powerful piece in this, you know, scenario. I deserve, and I don't have to deal with, and I can walk away because I'm, you know, smart enough, great enough to go and, you know, replace that. How much of a difference would it have made if you knew what you knew within yourself, that the very first time it happened, it was just automatic for you to go, no, absolutely not.
And this is what
this
it's going to be.
This is a deal breaker. This is beyond my boundary. And this is what it's going to be. And I'm going to, you know, implement my power. I'm going to execute my power and saying no.
And you know, it's so hard because it's like, you know, even when you feel like you're saying something, like when you tell somebody to not do something, it's kind of like an environment. Now you have to prove to me that you didn't give them a reason to do what they did, even though you know in this environment that should not even be accepted. You even know in this environment this person in this level of power shouldn't even have any kind of conversation, email, nothing like that, but it's reinforced that, but it's okay because they have money, they have influence, and you could be replaced. And so, you know,
right.
It sounds good to say speak up, because even the ladies that came forward after the fact, it was still like, you know, they didn't want to use their names and stuff because we have this system, which we all are very aware of it, where I'm going to write down what we're not all going to do. And then I'm going to do these things and then I'm going to penalize you for not falling in line. Or I'm going to penalize you also for doing the same things that I do. But like I said, that's all. Continue learn behavior.
Well, I think a lot of us have been there. I know I've been there. I've actually worked in an environment in a law firm in which I wasn't the one that was violated, but I was hanging out and going out to lunch with one of the girls that was, and she chose to speak up. And when I tell you, the women in this workplace were worse than the men when it came to this high power exec that was being accused of harassment, the women came out and were personally attacking. So other people who had been violated but hadn't said anything, that silence, that, you know, suffering in silence type of mode, they're watching this thing play out. So it's not encouraging them to take back their power or to have anything to say. And then you start to find out as it unravels that this is not a first time thing, that this is, you know, kind of, again, the cultural norm. This has been going on forever. It's continuously covered up. So it's almost like another level of your power is taken away because you think, well, the right thing to do is to contact the authorities. You know, we see these 30-minute sitcoms that just go get you a lawyer and, you know, all of this will be taken care of by the end of the show. It doesn't
It
really
don't work
work
that
that
way. And
way.
that's what I was going to say too, also about speaking up. Like for me, I mean, you basically know my character. It wasn't really like most people be like, oh, you can get a check. Like that wasn't, I was more hurt by that, the fact that somebody would do that to me. Like I'm like, first of
Right.
all, this was my whole livelihood. This was the next, X plan. But of course, God had something bigger, clearly. But it was kind of
Right.
like, I was like, man, how do you give everything? Which, like I said, this all goes back to childhood. You give everything, and then you either what you're given is not appreciated, so then you don't feel worthy, or that you're worthy. Like you know what you're capable of, but you have a system around you that's telling you no, that's not what it is. That's it's not.
So what does that look like since when you are, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but you just made like a great point. Like you know that you know that you know, like I am this phenomenal being. I'm very smart, I'm intelligent, I'm this, I'm that. But there's this system, there's this culture that you've been working in for X amount of time, and then you grow up with this voice, because it's a voice that you start battling. What does that battle look like when you are balancing, you know, the outward opinions or, you know, the perspective or even the reality of the situation versus what you know?
For me, it was like you said. In most situations, in this situation, and even when I was raped, when I was in the military, the women naturally are anti, they're already against you. Even if they loved you the day before, it's something about bringing exposure to things like that that triggers people. So you know they're being triggered for a reason that needs to be discussed. So the battle looks like, man, I know they need to talk about this, but the other part of you is like, but that's not your place because you need to speak up for your own self. So then I'm like, okay, I can't be telling them they need to speak up if I'm not even doing it.
Right. Well, you said something just big. If you guys are listening in on the line and you're going through a situation where you've been violated in any capacity, especially in a, you know, cultural based environment, whether that's, you know, community or at the job or, you know, any place where you are around other people, and sis said these other people are being triggered, and I've seen it too, where they start to defend the person who is the perpetrator. Their life, they're feeling like their own livelihood is threatened, or something might happen to them. They might lose, even though the reality of the situation is they're not going to lose anything. But in supporting you and attaching themselves to you, being around you, consoling you, comforting you, makes them feel like, well, shit, if I talk to Maisha, they might, you know, put me out of a job too.
And it happens.
So, therefore, there's that double whammy. You have to choose between your livelihood and taking care of your children. They do too. And so, we're all in this environment where it's like survival of the
It starts to
fittest.
become a codependent type toxic behavior. And for those that fall into place, if
Right.
I, you know, because like you said, they govern you for the
Right,
rest of your
right.
life if they choose so.
Right. Absolutely. So what does that look like when you start to, when you get to a point where you're making the decision? Because I know you didn't just make the decision next day, boom. Like you walked yourself into this
Oh,
mama
first of
status.
all,
How do you
yeah,
get
it
there?
was like for me, I'm a when I because I've been working since I was 14 and I was a teen mom, I hold what I do very seriously. So to be in a position where it's like, man, I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to do, but then I'm still being forced out of this. It took me months to even get up the courage to just be like, okay, I'm gonna resign. Now, I've went and said, hey, don't send me messages. I've texted and said, hey, don't do this no more, da 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 da. But as soon as I did that, it's okay, now you have to report to this person. Now we don't talk no more. So then it's basically, it made it so uncomfortable that I got sick because of the mental anguish. I couldn't process what was happening. It didn't make sense to me at all. And people that's close to the situation, nobody saw it coming. It's just this weird, surreal thing, but it was a part of my also, not to get off subject, as like ascension and me growing into what I'm supposed to be ultimately doing and what I'm here for. So it was literally like, I was torn with myself of, okay, if you're saying you're genuine and you know, this is what you want to do. And it's not, you know, it was never about money or nothing like that. It was like, there's so many women that I actually was connected to that had to endure this and to have to figure out whether you want to, at some point in my situation, potentially be homeless or just hold this job and just take whatever comes to you, because it ain't that bad, because that's our mindset. So it was a long, long struggle
to get there. And it is, and I don't want you to disregard that, because we're going to move into that in the next half hour of the show. We first want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, our sister, Miss Keisha Christian at Keisha's Gym LLC, presently known as Dropping Gems. It's a healing product line, including personal care products, books, her online school, Dropping Gems, and holistic lifestyle coaching. You can go and follow and support Keisha on Instagram and Facebook at Keisha's Gems. That's GEMZ LLC. Thank you, Keisha, for supporting the podcast.
Thank you, Keisha.
Oh, in the second part of the segment, right. We love our sister support. I want to move into, though, I don't want to use our whole time, you know, speaking on the traumatic aspect Correct. Of it, but more, and you just led into that, more into when you started to recognize your own power in this and how this was going to take you to the next level. Because you said something that sparked in me from my Respect the Queen days up until the sacred space. When you see something transpiring, whether it's happening to you or it's happening to another sister, or maybe it's happening to the whole group and you're included, and you know that I stand for something greater than
right.
this. These are the women that I advocate for.
Right.
These are the women that, you know, that I get up every day and do all of this work and provide all of these services. Did you have this conversation? Because I had it with myself a couple of years ago when we crossed paths and some things transpired and I had to walk away.
Yes.
I remember.
Yes, ma'am.
I remember that I was going to lose this position if I opened my mouth and said, you
say a
right.
word.
You're not right in how you're treating these other people. You're not right in how you're treating me. I'm not going to let you do this. I knew that the very moment that I said
yep.
this, that my position would be gone. But the conversation I had with myself was, I would want another sister to do this for me.
Right.
This is what I stand for. So I got to look at losing my integrity, my self-respect, being able to look y'all in the
Facts.
Face.
Facts.
And be all right with myself. I couldn't be all right with, that's why I was on, it was only two times and I was up out of there. I couldn't be okay with myself. And so in that moment, it had become, is what I believe is the benefit here worth more than what I believe?
Facts.
And so I had to make that choice and say, I got to say what I got to say and let the chips fall where they may. Well, you and I both know that story. But it was absolutely what was necessary.
Absolutely.
And so that's where I want
absolutely.
To go with this. It was absolutely what was necessary to elevate, you know, myself to the next level in my journey.
Man.
What was that like for you when you started to notice, like, oh,
Lord.
Wait a minute. You know, this is bigger than the job. This is really about my own healing.
Exactly. So it's like, as I'm dealing with this at the job, the other part of it is that I'm in a relationship and I'm not happy. And then it's like this other part, this is the piece that was kind of hard, is that I moved up here for this position. And, you know, it's always the first question. Well, like, how do you know this person? Those type of questions. And then it's like, then it rolls into now it's sexual harassment. Now you side eyeing me. I'm going to work being traumatized. And then I'm sitting there like, damn, you're not even speaking up for yourself, but you're supposed to be speaking up for everybody else, but you're not doing it yourself. So, and then the thing, like you said, is just like where I met you at. There's no, like you said, integrity is everything. I stand alone in everything I do as far as what I believe. I don't have to have nobody speak for me, right? But people are
Right.
influenced by me. So if somebody's influenced by me as I was influenced by you, and you got shiesty people around you, just like the situation I was in, I'm thinking you were up and up business owner, but you're allowing certain things to happen and I see it. What kind of leader am I? I'm going back to that same
Right.
not speaking up type thing. I'm just in a different situation and I'm still doing the same thing by not standing by what I know I believe. That you are enough
Right.
and you are the power. You don't need nothing else, but we try to collaborate with like-minded people, but everybody that do what you do don't do what you do. And I had to learn that.
Hello, somebody. Whoo, two times. Everybody that do what you do, don't do what you do. Do y'all hear
They
that?
don't, it's in, just that battle, like I said, with this whole journey. If I'm saying everybody don't do what you do, it's kind of like everybody isn't going through the same experiences as you. Everybody don't have the mindset as you, but they could be doing the same type of things, or they might be the person that everybody comes to, but their growth is tainted just because they're not genuine and, dealing with what's going on. And all that does is create a cycle of unhealing, and that whole, we already have this thing where we don't believe anything. So it's just that mistrust that we create, where we never can create this unity and sisterhood that we really need. Because clearly
Right.
it's been taught to us that women are only valued if they have money or if a man wants them and wants to give them money and give them whatever. You get married, you get this, you when the whole time you got everything.
Right.
But
Well, I haven't heard you say that. And, we've been talking for a short period of time. I haven't heard you say at this point that, and I know who you are. I know what it is you do. I know that you stand for sisterhood. I haven't heard you say, I had a tribe of sisters behind me. And so it wasn't hard for me to find my voice. It wasn't hard for me to walk through this because I had sisters who were cheering for me, who were, finding resources or doing whatever it is that I needed them to do. To help me get through this situation. I have not heard you say that thus far. So it sounds like you walked through this journey alone. And sometimes we have to.
right. So,
But I'm definitely intrigued by, I don't hear you saying that.
right. So when I say one of my transformation tips, I always say create your circle. Like, so with Blue Girls Turn Gold, it's kind of like people that knew me before this, I'm the same person. It's just the way I do what I do is different. So,
Right.
I've always had a sisterhood to a certain extent. Now, the
Okay.
sisterhood that I'm growing into, which would include, people like you, that it's kind of like I am aware and now I resonate and see things in other people. I didn't understand what that was. So for me to say I didn't have a tribe, I wasn't alert to know what a tribe was. I had friends, but I still only had a few
Okay.
friends. But
Got you.
going
Got you.
through
Hey,
it,
that's actually very valuable, sis. Actually
yeah.
very, very valuable because sometimes we don't know and we don't understand what it means to have tribe versus what it means to have associates and or friends.
Right. Because you got to think, if we really sit here and be honest with ourselves, it's some people that's married, there's some people with best friends, and they haven't had the deepest questions that will actually heal them, but this is supposed to be your tribe. It's like there's just levels to certain things.
Absolutely.
And sometimes when you try to
Absolutely.
force yourself to be in groups, which I never did, but I always felt like, dang, I would like to kind of, but I always thought different. No matter what situation, I always tried to look at it in different ways, but that's because, I mean, that's my upbringing is just real open. So it's just the point of sisterhood to me. I always be saying I don't really get into titles, but I know people from all over the country, and it was like I was always told your sisterhood, you like this per the person has to be black, or it has to be this, or it has to be that. And I'm like trying to create what I want it to look like. My sisterhoods look totally different than what most people would think.
Right. And you know what that is, and you just like Who touch my spirit. There, I think you get to a level when you start to really dig within yourself, and the more that you become in tune with yourself, the more you realize that these universal and spiritual laws don't have anything to do with
Yes,
color.
ma'am.
And so you start connecting, through energy, through frequency, through, divine timing. And you don't get to say what that looks like when you really do trust the universe to provide it.
Period. And like you said, not even color, race, I mean, not race, culture,
None of
gender,
that.
like all that stuff.
None
As
of
I
that.
grow, it's kind of like I'm trying not to look. I don't look at stuff that way because, like you said, it's more universal and spiritual. But I didn't want to get into that other stuff.
That,
They're
well, we did. We entered on in.
like,
I do
wait a
have
minute,
a.
what are we talking about?
Well, that we do have a sisterhood community, and we do understand that sisterhood is important. But again, the deeper you dig within
Them.
yourself, you will realize even that it's bigger than that.
Yes. And it's
It's way bigger.
undescribable. It's like just, and that's
It
what I kind of go by. People are like, well, how do you? And I'm like, I literally just lead by example because that's all I know how to do. I could talk, I could do all that. You just have to lead by example. So I can't pigeonhole myself because, like you said, it's so big that it's unexplainable. It's just unknowing. You just know.
You can't contain it. And the more
Right.
you try to contain it, the more you try to define it, the more you put
Yes.
limitations and restrictions on it, you hinder
Yes.
your own growth.
Yes.
You put yourself in this box that doesn't let you go anywhere or move
Yep.
or anything. You're just in this space where nothing can really happen for you. But the more that you open up to the idea of, I'm going to allow things to happen in divine timing
Right.
and
And
how
I
I
trust
profile.
myself.
Right. Like, even with the Sacred Space podcast, so I stopped looking for particular people to come on,
Yep.
and more so, how I would cross paths with somebody and we'd be talking on the phone for an hour. And I'm like, we should have recorded that.
Yep.
Like, this is a great conversation. I'm more so leaning into that, although we are doing some sponsorship for the
Of
retreat.
course.
Excuse me, ladies. We have 3 tickets left. Just letting y'all know, we have
Get
three
your
tickets
tickets,
left.
get your
$100.
tickets.
Get your tickets. Get your tickets. June 26th through the 28th, 2020, in Clayton, Georgia. $100 with security deposit. That was a little shout out on the side.
Hey.
But more so, I found when I stopped trying to make it look a certain way or find a certain person to come on the show, then this transparency could happen that wasn't happening. These divine connections could happen. And then once the sisters started talking, I'm like, oh, this is why, the universe put us together.
Fact.
Got it.
Look,
Get
and it
it.
look, and it's there. It's been sitting there the whole time, but the vision is there.
Right.
You
Right,
know, I
absolutely.
always say sometimes when I be talking, I'm like, sometimes the physical is catching up with the spiritual, or vice versa. Sometimes that's
Yeah.
how it go. So like you're doing it exactly how it's supposed to be done. Like when you told me to register, I'm like, man, I have been putting this off for forever because I don't like to be boxed in. And I'm like, when I talk, I want it to be timeless. I want it to be real. I want it. So like what you're doing, I'm inspired by because those are the real conversations we need to have. And actually
They need
hearing
to be had, yeah.
the opposite views. Like you said, last night I had some young ladies over. And we actually got to talking about, things like molestation, this whole light skin thing. We found out where some of this stuff stemmed from just from having a conversation that nobody has
Right.
because you're constantly told to be at battle. And it's like, man, when you actually talk
Right.
and open up, it's like, damn, we're the same, literally.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. I think a lot of us, have had so many of the same experiences. They may look a little bit different here or there, but when you take the formalities out and we can just have heart to heart,
Yes.
for me, that's where we heal. Individually, that's where we heal. Collectively, to have these conversations and say, hey, sis, you're not the only one going to the workforce and feeling uncomfortable. You're not the only one questioning, like, was I don't think it was right for that person to say that. Like, that made me feel
Right.
some way within my spirit. But here's the better lesson, or the greater lesson, is learning to trust. Like, this makes me uncomfortable in my mind, in my body, and in my spirit.
Yes.
And I need to do something about it versus tormenting myself, traumatizing myself by disregarding that And I know we've all had a situation where something has been said or something's been done on the job or in a relationship, even friendship,
Yep.
that's like your body will tell you something's wrong here. This doesn't feel good. I feel threatened. I feel afraid, whatever it is. But when you've gone through some trauma, and I know you can attest to this, sister, when you've gone through trauma, when you've been raised in an unhealthy environment, you will teach yourself to question your own body's response.
Yep.
Is this real? Is this really
Are you
happening?
overreacting?
Are you overreacting? And then if you mess around and get the wrong partner, the wrong friend,
Man.
or the wrong boss, or the wrong coworker, they will gaslight you
Yes, come through the gaslight.
and make you feel like, because let's be honest, someone said this the other day, and I'm damn near, I did jump out of my seat screaming. We have decided that we're going to use the word crazy as a substitution for fucking trauma. Crazy, a lot of us are not crazy, not by far crazy. We have been traumatized and taught how to embrace our own trauma that makes it impossible for us to trust our own mind,
Facts.
body, spirit, and heart's response to dangerous environments, no matter what the level of danger is. My body is gonna say, hello, excuse me,
I'm telling you.
something's not right here. So that's how you get a Maisha that has to battle between, okay, how do I say it? When do I say it? How do I figure this out? That's how you get the mom who's in a relationship, needs to leave this guy. It's not healthy for her and her children, but he paying the bills. That's how you get these situations.
And then
Is
they'll, you
that
know,
real?
it'll come back like what you just said. It's like, oh, so it all goes back to money. No, like here's my whole thing. I didn't have no partner. It was just me. So this was my livelihood. This isn't about money. This was about the stability of my child that you took away because you didn't get what you want. That is pure
Right,
evil.
right,
But
right. You dangled the power.
yeah,
You
but
dangled
you're
your
being
own
backed up
hand.
by this. You're being like, oh, that's okay to do that. That's what they told me, basically.
And then let's be clear, because I know what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you what I think. It is about the money. I come here 5 days a week. I work X amount of hours. I am deserving of this pay because that is what my contract says.
Facts.
And you're using your power to make me feel like, oh, well, this is about the money.
Yep.
You goddamn right it's
You're
about the
right.
money. I am deserving of that based on the work that I
You're
do.
right.
If you are a mother and you are at home taking care of those children, you are doing the job that you are supposed to do in this relationship. So you goddamn right it's about the money, it's about the finances, it's about the benefit. That's why you're using it as a power play.
Right. Because at the end of the day, it's kind of like on his end. And the crazy part, I don't even know if I ever told you this part, but the crazy part is like this was a private business and the wife also worked there. So she's also aware. And you
Oh,
know,
absolutely.
family, friends, all that kind of stuff. So here you come trying to be different. And it's like, oh, you got to go. Because you're a threat to their money because there's other things being done
Right.
besides what you see. You
Right,
pick,
exactly. And
it
that
was way deeper
happens.
than just the harassment. It was way deeper, but it's just crazy.
Right. And it's unfortunate that happens on a lot of different platforms. There's those of us, again, the violation can, it's different levels to violation. I know some of y'all are at work and you do the job of others. And then the moment you speak up, there's a problem.
Yep.
Like that type of
That's
scenario
toxic as well.
in school, when you're in, group projects and you end up doing all the work, but you got that one person, that type of mentality kind of, flows into all different areas of our life when you decide to be the person who is an advocate for other people, including yourself. You've got to make a decision. I shared this with my son a year ago. He had gotten four or five different jobs, and every single job he ended up losing because he was always the person that was advocating for all the employees. He's 16, 17 years old. I said, listen, govern yourself accordingly. When you choose to be the people's advocate, You choose to take on all of the nonsense that comes along with it and using your voice.
Yep.
So if you know that this is the environment, this is corporate.
Yep.
If you know that this is the environment, if you're not, again, coming back to governing yourself, you got to govern yourself. So if you know you can't listen to someone telling you what to do, and in your brain you go, well, you just let such and such do that, so why come I can't? It's time for you to go out and create your own.
Period.
Because that is the nature of the beast.
That is the nature. And look, like, oh, sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So when you were talking about the group projects, like you said, we learn all this stuff from being repeated and it being reinforced. So like you said, I don't feel like, and they do this in college too. Well, yeah. I'm doing all the work. Well, you're all going to get a grade for it. So it condones the lack. It condones all that. And then you're upset when somebody speaks up against it. But like you said, the system, all this stuff that we believe is a system, and it's there for a reason.
It's there for a reason. But that in, going back deeper, sis, that's in childhood. Yeah. It's 4 or 5 of y'all in the household, 3 of y'all, 2 of y'all.
Everybody getting it.
One person do something, but everybody
getting it.
So by the time you, so by the time you get to school, college, and then a job, you're already programmed to be treated a certain way, and then go, okay, well, everybody gets treated that
way,
so it's okay for me too. But if you're somebody like you, if you're somebody like me, if you're somebody like the women who listen to the Sacred Space podcast, and y'all know me well enough, there's something about God's chosen people. Which makes us look like the rebellious, you know, the outcast, because there's something within us that say, no, that ain't going to be able to, that's not going to work for me.
Nope. And it's okay for me to say that.
There you go. That was my point. It's okay for you to feel that way. When reclaiming your voice initially, sis, and you can probably attest to this, when you first start to reclaim your voice, you might be a little reckless.
Man,
because it feel good, it feel good to tell people where to go and what to do, and all of that. But eventually, you have to taper those things off and learn when to speak and learn when to use your silence to speak for you.
Hey, and know what to speak if you do speak,
right? You got to learn,
man,
how to have those conversations. It doesn't just come naturally out the gate. You're going to be like a little child. You're going to, your voice going to spill over in all kind of ways.
And yeah.
You're sorry a lot. But to suffer in silence, to let the shame, you know, of people attempting to minimize your hurt and your pain, allow you to continue to suffer. That is what this particular show is about, is finding the space, finding the network, finding the support system, finding the courage to say no.
Yep.
You know, this is my boundary and this does not work for me. Give our sisters some word of advice that are struggling with that boundary, you know, really standing in that boundary, because it's easy to stand in that boundary when ain't nothing happening.
Right. Oh, definitely. So my advice would be, you know, this is the sacred space. Create that sacred space within yourself. Create a circle of people that can appreciate when you have to cry and scream and actually get your feelings out about a situation without judgment. And they may not look like we were talking about earlier. Your tribe might not look like what you think, but you also have to stop judging yourself. That's the first thing. We judge ourselves because that's what we were taught. And like, you know, you were just saying, you know, this stuff starts at home. But then as we become adults, we're blaming the outside world. But it really started with us. It really started with our childhood, because if we grew up different, this stuff wouldn't happen. Just like how we're a certain, I don't want to say a woke level, but we're aware of things now. We wouldn't make the same. I wouldn't make the decision, same decisions that I made 6 months ago, just coming to this new season, you know? So just be compassionate with yourselves and create that sacred space for yourself unapologetically. And it is going, you are going to have to do it alone. Not that you're alone, like you don't have nobody, but you're going to have to get into yourself. Nobody can do that for you. I don't care what kind of coach you get, accountability partner, you're going to have to be raw and real with yourself. And there's so many layers. There's going to be layers that you didn't even know exist as you grow. And so, you know, just choose you and be compassionate with yourself is what I would say is the most important part.
Absolutely. So tell our sisters, what type of services do you offer with Blue Girls Turn Gold?
Okay, so with Blue Girls Turn Gold, We have an anthology project, which is right now 20 women in three volumes of books, where they're actually, and one gentleman, sharing their story of blue to gold, from going unknowing to knowing. And I actually have in these books resources, transformation tips, journal activity. So it's not just a book. You're actually getting stories and experiences from others that, you know, sometimes if you don't have that circle, you can find that circle in these books. I do offer, you know, consulting services as well, as far as, you know, if you have a purpose-driven dream that you want to pursue, I have experience coaching that we actually just come up with a plan to get you on path to pursue your dreams, even if it's just a thought right now. So I'm just here as a resource. I try not to be like, oh, my titles are this, but I just try to be a resource. And
She got some titles too, y'all. She got some
I
titles.
got some titles, but it's like, it's a little ridiculous. It's like, really? Like, re for real right now? But,
That? Yeah, we doing all that.
right, because, you know, and another thing that people didn't know is like, when I was in corporate, I was the one when somebody said, you know, you'll have somebody like, that ain't my job. I'm the one that's like, I'm finna learn everything I can, because I understood my value was based on what I knew. So that's why I know how to do so many different things.
So I'm right
So,
with you.
exactly. So it's a good time. It's 2020. It's a great
Yes.
time. And at any moment, you can change your path, your direct, any moment, at any moment. You know, so just be compassionate with yourself, guys.
Absolutely. Do you have any events coming up?
The next event I have scheduled is July 25th in Atlanta. We're doing a listening party for two of the volumes, volume one and volume two of Blue Girl Turn Gold. I'm doing a tour with another young lady. I don't know if you're familiar with Andrea A. Moore. She has
Not
a
sure.
grief tour that starts in May, and it's a 4-city tour. But what it is Grief Me Not is the title, and it's called Black America in Loss. And it's just more talking about things on a grief level. But as far as Blue Girls Turn go, the next scheduled event I have is in July in Atlanta. And that information will
Awesome.
be found on Instagram at Blue Girls Turn
That's
Gold.
what I was getting ready
I
to
was
ask you.
like, yeah.
Tell us where we can find you.
You could find me in the house. No, okay. So
Yay.
Instagram, Blue Girls Turn Gold, Facebook, Blue Girls Turn Gold, Twitter, Blue Turn Gold. And you can shoot me an email at bluegirlsturngold@gmail.com. And as I said, I'm a resource. So if I can't help you, I'm pretty sure I have somebody in my circle that can.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for joining us. We have to do this more often. It's so many. This is the hard part about doing the podcast, especially doing it for an hour, is there's so many layers to these conversations.
Right, even
And we
one
only
question, so
have,
many other things. It's like,
we only have an hour. I'm thinking about going live, like having this where people actually come and sit down and talk with me. And be able to touch some of y'all more. You know, we've
yeah, I
touched each
like
other
that.
once, but I like that too.
I like
You
that.
know, but it's just that this healing thing is so multi-layered and faceted. And once you peel back one thing, you're like, boom, like there's already so many things going on in my head about some of the stuff that you said that applies to me personally, professionally, things for other people. And I'm like, I'm making so many mental notes in my head. So I know that you ladies that are listening in are making those notes too. So make sure that if you have a question about the show and what we were discussing, you can comment here on the show. I have a message box, or you can hit up my Isha on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or the website, myself as well. We're both open, you know, to create a space for you to be able to have that conversation, whether it is a service, a consult, or just a, hey girl, I heard you say this. You know, can you give me a little bit more insight or direction, in using your voice to get what it is that you need? Maybe you didn't know you needed this conversation, but now that we're having it, you're like, whoa, I need to, you know, really look back at that. That's the reason why we have these conversations, is so that
Amen.
you'll get something that you need
Man.
from, you know, this hour. I'm so thankful for you guys. It's 20. I've got a little bit going on, ladies. Praise probably not going to be here next week. I have to go out of state. Don't know if I'm going to record or not. We'll see. Either y'all see me or you won't see me.
Facts.
One of the right. I've
learned, and look, and that's okay.
Right. I've learned to honor it. Like, I really have learned to honor it. So if you come on the podcast and you don't see a new episode, it's just because I have not crossed paths with someone that speaks to my soul in a way that I know y'all need to hear them. That's come really through. All that it is.
Come through. That's literally because don't think nobody's not knocking at the door, but we got to be responsible.
Right. I'm like, no.
Invitation denied. Come back about 3 months. You didn't do it.
Right. So for those of you who are listening, who are avid listeners, I'm going to give you an additional $100 off if you would like to attend the Sacred Space Retreat. Let me know that you heard this show. You are going to inbox me. Blue Girls Turned Go. They're going to know that you listen to
the show. Get on it.
Okay? I'm going to know you listen to the show, and I'm going to give you that additional $100 off. So you'll get to create your payment plan basically for free, and then we'll work out the details for the remainder of the balance for the retreat. I'm excited.
Go get your healing.
Right. This is going to be different. Like, we are just getting better and better with the retreat.
Yes.
This year, we're going to touch and dive more into sexual empowerment, sexual energy, the Kundalini. We are women who have been violated, and we really have forgotten how powerful we are at the womb.
Woo!
So I'm in that space. And wherever I'm at, I just take y'all with me. So I'm in that space.
There we go.
Finding my sexy. So y'all coming with me, okay?
Let's get it.
Tune in every Thursday. Here on Anchor FM or Spotify, Google Podcast, iTunes, all other smaller platforms we are on, the Sacred Space community across all of social media, where sisterhood and intimate conversation ignites spiritual transformation. I am your host, Teresina Jackson. She was my guest, Miss Maisha Collins. Thank you guys for joining us. Good night.